Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. And yeah, we're day six, I think. I think we'll go to by day six, right? It was Friday evening, Saturday morning. So tomorrow will be roughly a week since this conflict began. And what a week it's been. It's just gotten worse. It's just gotten worse and worse in every possible regard. I'll bring you all of the updates. We do have some political news to talk about today as well with the firing of Kristi Noem. And we'll also have two great guests. We have Mike Adams joining us in the second hour. And I originally invited him to talk about AI and the bizarre fact that AI can somehow know things that it has no way of knowing. We showed a video last week of AI somehow identifying and describing a object that it had no way to see. Totally bizarre. Mike Adams has some insight on that, but we'll probably talk a lot about the Middle East war. Of course, the war with Iran will just be the major topic of conversation because there's just too much to talk about. And then the third hour, we'll be joined by Andrew Branca. And again, breaking down just the latest in chaos, madness, insanity, and murder around the world. Let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 5th of March, 2026. Susie Wiles at center of, quote, screaming panic inside Trump's White House as Iran war sends gas soaring. Donald Trump's chief of staff, Susie Wiles, is demanding action to bring gas prices down as the war with Iran sends oil skyrocketing, sources have revealed. Energy Secretary Chris Wright and other top officials, including a council led by Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, quote, are getting screamed at to find some good news, industry executive said. Iran has shut the Strait of Hormuz, through which a fifth of the world's oil flows, sending prices soaring more than 10% in a single week, with Brent crude jumping $72 to more than $82 a barrel. Maybe you shouldn't have started a war with Iran. Tell you what, if you wanted to keep oil prices down, I have a quick fix for you. Stop starting wars in the Middle East where the oil comes from. That'd be a great idea. But I guess oil prices can go in that negative column when we're discussing, like, what's the trade-off here? Like, okay, in the negative column, we're starting a war. Americans are going to die. It's going to cost us billions of dollars. Shutting down, you know, oil transportation means oil prices are going to rise, meaning the price of everything is going to rise. And as soon as we find something to put on that pro column, we will let you know. Meanwhile, war with Iran has, quote, only just begun, Hegseth says. Top Pentagon officials on Wednesday suggested that the Iran war could extend into a longer conflict, saying the fighting is, quote, far from over, even if they declined to explain what ultimate victory might look like. There's no ultimate victory. No, this is it. We have begun. We have embarked on the final phase of globalism. Of course, globalism always predicated on the idea that if nations are intertwined morally with their populations, economically, they'll be less likely to go to war. Globalism's always pitched as an end to war. But that's not really the case. War in its old form is over now, and that was where you had nations fighting other nations over an issue that was then resolved, peace declared, and then a state of peace reigned instead of war. That's over. It's war forever now. War on anybody outside of the system, okay? Iran is outside of the system. War with them. As soon as they're destroyed, it'll be war with Turkey, war with Russia, war with China, war with any independent, like, small-scale separatist group. Endless war forever against anybody not under the thumb of the globalists. That's the world we live in now, unless we decide to change it at any point by standing up against our rulers who are driving us into this hellish existence, despite our firm and practically ubiquitous opposition on the side of humanity. Iran is, quote, confident it could counter a U.S. ground invasion, the foreign minister says. We'll show you some videos from him a little bit later. And finally, Saudi Arabia and Qatar have arrested Mossad agents planning terror attacks. Yes, Tucker Carlson mentioned this. It has now been confirmed by Saudi authorities that Mossad agents were caught in Qatar and Saudi Arabia false flagging.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VIP members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VIP membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at thealexshowstore.com.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Just saw a tweet drop. It's interesting. Jonathan Carl says, in a lengthy conversation just now, President Trump hit back at Tucker Carlson, who called the Iran war absolutely disgusting and evil. Quote, Tucker has lost his way, Trump told me. I knew that a long time ago. He's not MAGA. MAGA is saving our country. MAGA is making our country great again. MAGA is making America first. And Tucker is not one of those things. And Tucker is not smart enough to understand that. So it's just... You're in the upside down, Trump. You're in the, everything you believe is the opposite of reality, Trump. I don't know how we extricate you from upside down bizarro dimension, but we have to save you. We have to rescue you. I don't understand how they've convinced Trump of this. And that really is at the heart of all of this. It's just like, that's the question. How are they getting Trump to go along with this? Because right now, I would not be surprised to see a Jafar-style, literal, like, hypnotist, because nothing else explains it. Nothing else that I can that I can even imagine could explain how far we've fallen off and how badly this war has gone. I mean, we are less than a week in, and so far, we've had, like, 5 to 10 different excuses as to why we're going. We've had it flip-flop back and forth, whether we were doing this to protect Israel, whether we had to because Israel was going to attack, or whether it's just like complete incoherence. It's gone from, I think what they really wanted was a repeat of Venezuela, where Donald Trump literally thought that by Monday afternoon, he'd be able to come out and go, we killed their leader. All everybody else is shaking in their boots. We found somebody to replace him that's going to work with us, just like we did in Venezuela. Problem solved. And then he thought he'd be like talking about tariffs this week. I really think that's what it was, because it's gone from no timeline, no discussion about length whatsoever, and just sort of the assumption that this would be like a one and done thing. And about every day, another like 6 weeks has been tacked on, to where at this point, the official leak, I guess, out of the Pentagon is they're planning for this to go until September, like 100 days. So we told you so. Like, I don't know. What is there to say about that other than we are 6 days in? We could be done. This could be it. I mean, we've taken a lot of damage. According to people that are tracking it, we're upwards of like $5-6 billion worth of damage we've sustained. Air, you know, radar bases, air bases, ships, all sorts of stuff. You know, not to mention the millions and millions of dollars worth of missiles that we're firing to defend. So far, you know, the problem with things like Vietnam is you get into the sunk cost fallacy, right? You've committed so much that to make that worth it, you have to commit a little bit more and then a little bit more and then and eventually, you know, you're bankrupt and your country's over. We're only 6 days in. The cost that we have so far sustained, pretty minimal. pretty minimal. People have died. That's horrifying and tragic. But we could pull the ripcord now. We could cut it off now. Right now, Donald Trump could come out and say, you know what? Never mind. He could. It might be a little embarrassing, but everybody would be thrilled. And you just say, look, we're not doing this anymore. We found somebody in Iran that can take over. Like, just take credit for it. Just declare victory and just stop. We could just stop right now. We could stop right now. So I don't know. Maybe screenshot this, record this. Like, just remember when we're like 2 or 3 years from now and we've gained absolutely nothing. Just remember that when we were 6 days in, we had the opportunity. And when we're 7 days in, and when we're 8 days in, and for the last 2 years, Israel and America have had the opportunity to, at any point, just stop. We can just stop. The worst possible scenario, the worst possible outcome for us would be that we would have to accept some limitations on the aggressive expansion of Israel. That's it. That's what all of this is about. Israel wants free action to not just take over any land that they set their eyes on, but slaughter anybody who lives there now. And anything less than that, and we're at war. And that's what this has been about. So just having flashbacks of Ukraine, having flashbacks of all these other conflicts, because we're, you know, in all likelihood, we'll be here. 2 years from now, we'll be right here. Only instead of 6 days worth of cost and maybe like $1 billion, it'll be trillions of dollars that we've spent. God only knows how many lives having been lost. And we will be in exactly the same material circumstances that we're in right now. Right now. We can just not do any of that other stuff. But we're going to. But I have the feeling, the distinct understanding that we're gonna do it forever and to no end, to absolutely no end. It's pathetic, but that's just how it is at this point. And I got a lot of videos about this, and I understand from a morale perspective why, as the leader of a military, you're going to be beating your chest and saying how well you're doing no matter what. But it rings a little bit hollow when they say yesterday that they've taken out every Iran missile launcher, and then last night, Tel Aviv gets absolutely rocked by gigantic Iranian missiles. Your bragging has to be based on something at least vaguely tangible and real. I'm just figuring out how to lay all this out, because there is no way to explain this that doesn't sound just like absurd and ridiculous. Like, I could cover this whole thing in like 5 minutes. Honestly, it's just like Israel and America have absolutely no game plan. So our entire goal is just bomb civilian infrastructure to cause as much suffering as possible. We're just trying to create a failed state in Iran. Iran has been preparing for this for 20 years, is extremely well managed in its stockpiles of missiles and drones, and they're producing 500 drones a day. They are not going to be dislodged. They're not going to be murdered. They're not, like, it's an impossible task. Meanwhile, Israel is now giving South Lebanon the Gaza treatment and is now saying in their own words that they intend to turn Beirut into the new Khan Yunis, right? Gaza, totally flattened field of rubble. They're just going to do that now to Lebanon, all right? So again, there's no nuance to get into. There's no strategic back and forth to discuss. It's very simple to explain. A bunch of people in Israel want the land in Lebanon and are going to kill anybody that doesn't want to give it to them. That's it. It's like this is nothing about, and we'll get into the temple stuff, and, you know, it's crazy because you can go from like high-level, you know, geopolitical, strategic, economic reorganization, talking about how this affects China and the Belt and Road Initiative, and like you can get really sophisticated on that level. On the other side, you can get to this like super esoteric, like fulfilling of prophecies and building a temple and sacrificing red heifers. And it's like on all these different angles that you want to approach this conflict at. You can take it to really sophisticated, complicated, nuanced places. At the end of the day, everything that's happening is just as simple as a guy walks in your house and punches you in the face. It's like that's for no reason, to no end, with no strategic purpose, with no justification as to our national security. They're just doing it. When it comes to Lebanon, they just want the land, so they're going to kill the people that are on the land. Like, that's it. That's just what's happening. And I've been saying since, you know, the first months of 2024, when Israel was, you know, carrying out its murderous campaign against Gaza, and every day just the most horrifying and horrific gore images were spilling forth regularly. And it feels a lot like as if I was a true crime podcaster, and every week I would do a new episode. You know, it's the new crime show from Wondery Media. It's called, you know, Hunting the Back Bay Butcher, you know, whatever it is. Except we know who the guy is, and we know his modus operandi, and he sort of like announces who he's going to kill. And so just every week we just have to come in and be like, well, the Bay Butcher killed another young woman. It was him. Here he is on video. Here he is. You know, here's the knife that he used. Here's the, you know, letter of him bragging about it. And like, here's an image of him on his balcony enjoying breakfast, you know. It's just like, and every week we're going to come back and learn who else he's murdered, and just nobody's doing anything about it. It's crazy. It really is. It's just, we're just engaged in, and, you know, on a national level, we are engaged in, but as human beings have to just sit by and just watch as just mass murderers just gleefully carry out massacre after massacre. And don't even bother to try to justify it or hide it or, you know, claim strategic importance for the sites they're hitting. They blew up the stadium. Like, Iran has, like, a really nice Olympic stadium. And I was talking to somebody today, and they're like, well, it looks like, you know, they're hitting all the, you know, they're really focused on hitting the military stuff in Iran. They're not going after civilian stuff. And I'm just like, what are you talking about? What about the giant stadium? What about the giant billion-dollar soccer stadium they had? We just felt like destroying that for no reason. Maybe Hamas was hiding under it. I mean, the whole thing's absurd. Let's go to some videos. But again, we can get you can get really complicated in a variety of different ways when all of this. At the end of the day, it's all very simple. And I was just thinking about that because even in covering this, there's always this temptation to be like, here's the claim these people are making, here's the claim these people are making, let's see if we can find it. But like, I also feel like just removing yourself and just looking at this purely objectively from a like alien visiting the planet kind of standpoint, it's just like, yeah, here's a bunch of murderous psychopaths and here's the people they're murdering. That's it. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. I mean, you can dress it up however you want. That's all that's happening. We're murdering people and we're bragging about it. Great. Well done. Great job. Let's get some videos. Let's get some videos here because there's a lot. Yeah, here's the map of Lebanon. Here's clip number 6. Israeli Minister Bezalel Smotrich saying that Beirut, this neighborhood in Beirut where Hezbollah is headquartered, they're going to turn into Khan Yunis, the Gaza neighborhood that is now a desert. Let's watch.
אנחנו עכשיו על גבול הצפון. אחרי שצהל נתן הנחיה לכל התושבים מהדחיה להתפנות. רציתם להביא עלינו גיהנום, הבאתם גיהנום על עצמכם.
That's Bezalel Smotrich standing in front of this place, you know, area of South Lebanon, just saying, yeah, we're going to destroy all of this here. We can go to clip number 12 here. This is massive destruction in Kfar Tebnit in South Lebanon. Let's go ahead and go to clip 12. So this is what it looks like. So, I mean, they're making good on their promise. No, they're going to do it for sure. No one's going to stop them. So why not? They're just going to smash Lebanon into non-existence, smash Syria into non-existence, Iran into non-existence, Turkey into non-existence. Of course, everybody from these places is going to have to go somewhere. And wherever they go will one day be smashed into non-existence. Because, like, what else could happen? What other outcome from this could there be? They either have to kill everybody or just like continually kill everybody. I mean, as long as people exist, Israel's going to want to kill them. Like, that's pretty much where we're at this point. It truly is beyond insane. Let's go to clip number 20 here, because this is Steve Miller. And look, I feel for the Trump administration. It is their job to spin this and make this look good. But like, I don't even know what to say about the it. Steve Miller right here. Again, Steve Miller's probably my favorite person out of the entire Trump administration ever. But like, this is pathetic. This is so crazy, the way they're trying to psyop America into like thinking we support this. Let's watch clip 20. This is Steve Miller.
Weapons. But what you're seeing right now, Sean, is a military under President Trump's leadership that's not fighting politically correct, that isn't fighting with its hands tied behind its back. One of the reasons I fear, Sean, that some people in this country lost faith in the military and the capacity to use that military to defend us is because we had a woke Pentagon. Because we had a military who, at the very highest levels, not the warfighters, was forced to fight a less than full fight. What you're seeing now...
I don't think that was it. I think that's actually worse. Steve Miller celebrates Trump's politically incorrect Iran war and lashes out at previously woke Pentagon. See, the things we didn't like are things like transgender people joining the army and getting their surgeries paid for, because you're obviously wasting money, encouraging mental illness, and lessening the combat readiness of our troops. Wokeness or not having a meritocracy in your military, like an existential crisis. It's good that that's out of it now. I feel like they're conflating wokeness with like humanity and the rule of law. I think they might be conflating wokeness with basic human sentiment and not wanting to be evil. It's almost like, look, we're not woke anymore, all right? We're not going to abide by any of those woke customs about like not bombing schools and hospitals, okay? This isn't your mama's military. We're not politically correct. We will be bombing children, okay? We will be waging illegal wars without permission or game plan or an end point. Yeah, so, okay, this isn't Obama's, you know, nimby-pimby, scared of everything military. We will be committing war crimes. We will be starting quagmires. We will be exposing our troops to senseless, pointless, and irreconcilable dangers. So take that. It's like, this is not good. No, the reason we didn't like the way the military was used before was because it didn't benefit America, was because we were starting wars overseas that cost us a lot of money and American lives and never achieved anything. You think it's good that they're not woke now? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? That's crazy. That is completely insane. I mean, kind of the funniest part about it is it's like, you know, we got rid of DEI, so now it will be white men going to die for Israel. The best, you know, we reestablished meritocracy, we got rid of DEI, so we have made sure that only the most high-achieving, high-potential white Christian men will be on the front line dying for Israel. We're not woke anymore. All right, well, can we go back to the way it was before? What if we only sent the transgender? Sorry, I want to be woke again. It is, again, completely insane. And, you know, there's a nuance. I know this is very complicated, but once again, I feel like I'm advocating for radical centrism here, because on one hand, it is ridiculous to send an army into, you know, Afghanistan, Taliban-controlled Afghanistan, and go, you know, if you kill anybody, there will be a review. And actually, your job is to win the hearts and minds of the children by handing out candy. They will be trying to kill you, okay? The Taliban is out to murder you, but be careful, because if you accidentally kill somebody that's not Taliban, then you will be spending the rest of your life in prison, right? And it's, there are these, like, handcuffs that get put on the military when it's not being used like a military, when it's being used like a stay-behind force, like something other than a machine to win war, and it becomes something else, or you get the interference of civilian lawyers and all this sort of stuff actually, like, trying to stop or have oversight over military operations, that is dangerous. However, the solution to that is not just start waging illegal wars with absolutely no consideration about any international law, about any decency or, like, value of human life. Like, what are we doing? It has gotten so insane, folks. There's speculation now that Israel must be using AI to identify targets, because in Tehran, there's a park called Police Park. And it obviously was, Police Park was targeted, like a direct strike landed, wasn't, you know, an interference missile knocked it off course. Like, they targeted a park. And you ask, like, why would they target a park? There was nothing there. There was no, like, underground facility. It's because it had the word police in it. And it's because Israel is apparently using AI and just telling their war machine, target all the police in Iran. Okay, a couple things about this. One, that's how they're using AI, to pick targets, and the targets they're picking are just completely arbitrary. They're bombing parks. Okay, that on its own feels like I just listed, like, five war crimes, or at least they should be war crimes, but that's fine. But also, why are we targeting police structures? Because the point of our operation in Iran at this point is literally to just create a failed state, to systematically demolish all semblance of civilization in Iran, to create a condition in which it is impossible for the Iranian people to even exist. There it is. Yeah, Police Park. The similarities between Israel's bombing of Gaza and Tehran are growing stronger. In both cases, it appears Israel is using AI without any human oversight. For example, Israel has bombed a park in Tehran called Police Park. It has nothing to do with the police, but it appears AI identified it as a target, since Israel is bombing all government-related buildings. No one in Israel bothered to check and find out that it's just a park. So they're using AI. They're using AI without human input. But on top of it all, they are literally just bombing police stations. Why? What is the point of that? How is that going to help us or Israel or anybody? Why are we allowing it? I mean, it just, it feels like, I don't know, an old Superman cartoon or something. It feels like there's just an evil scientist on a mountain with a giant laser gun that's just, like, picking targets at random and blowing them up, and they're just allowed to do that. So, you know, welcome back to the serial killer report. We're going to take a brief break now. When we get back, we're going to talk about more people that this insane cabal of murderers is killing for no reason other than their own immediate material gain. MAGA.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March Mega Sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. But that's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesShow.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Bigland. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, TheAlexJonesShow.com can keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesShow.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesShow.com because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals with everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, InfoWars.com, band.video. Share those links. You know, Donald Trump, he's on a roll. I mean, I don't know what to say. He's on a roll. The man is on a roll. Like Humpty Dumpty. Kind of like how Humpty Dumpty rolled right off the wall. That's kind of the roll that he's on. So, started war with Iran. Not a great move. Kind of destroying the entire world and certainly the political outlook for the Republican Party for the next decade or so. That wasn't a great move. Sort of just the tip of the spear. As of yesterday, we learned that Jeff Clark is no longer there. So basically all of the good people in the administration, from Ed Martin to Gail, they're all gone, okay? Systematically, they've all been weeded out. Only the worst people are still surrounding him. We also learned that the auto pin scandal is not going to be charged, so no justice for that. Today, he puts this out, the Save America Act. One, all voters must show voter ID, identification. 2, all voters must show proof of citizenship in order to vote. Yes, very good. 3, no mail-in ballots, except for illness, military, disability, or travel. Correct. 4, no men and women's sports. Fantastic. 5, no transgender mutilation surgery. Good. I'm sorry, it keeps going. For children without the express approval of the parents. Okay. Okay, so some transgender kids. Okay. Okay. I mean, is it better to require parental permission? Yes. Is that really the thing we're concerned about? No, not really. So, you know, we're not getting deportations. We've given up in Minnesota. We're not seeing any charges for all the fraud that's been uncovered. We're not getting any deep state prosecutions. We're not getting justice for the stolen election of 2020 or the illegitimate presidency of Joe Biden, including all of the illegal pardons. But hey, at least we got war with Iran. At least we got the one goddamn thing we did not want. So, you know, this is what I mean. It's like, what are you even supposed to say at this point? He's like speed running. Do we need to remind, is he going to, like, we need to tell Stuart Rhodes and Enrique Tarrio, they need to, like, get out of the country. At this rate, Trump is going to be reprisoning the January 6th prisoners any day now. Any day now, he's going to be coming out. Some judge is going to say, actually, we did a nationwide injunction on the pardons that you did last year, and you have to go rearrest everybody. And he's going to go, okay, yeah, will do. Kilmar Abrego Garcia is still in this country, folks. He's still in this country. Okay, so. So as long as the chemical castration, genital mutilation, the horrific, you know, chemical lobotomy is being carried out on the child with the mentally ill parent in the room, then we're fine. Then it's good. Then it's good. The children are being mutilated for life, having their possibility that they would ever have biological children or even experience physical love being stolen forever. That's not the issue. The issue is that it's being done without parents' permission. Is that him talking right now? Let's go to Trump right now. Let's see what he's saying right now.
You make a deal. I said you're being a little bit late. And we want to fight now more than they do. We've had 47 years, depending on the way you count it, but 47 years of horror with this group. And, you know, when you see somebody walking down the street without their legs, without the arms, whose face is so badly affected and hurt, it mostly came from 95% Soleimani and Iran.
What the and hell is he talking about?
Other presidents lived with it. I didn't live with it. And so our people are doing a great job. Again, the greatest military anyone's seen.
They just sort of say this stuff. What does that mean? We were at war with Afghanistan and Iraq. That's where most of our soldiers
were. Yesterday, my administration announced decisive action to help keep down the oil prices, including offering political risk insurance for tankers transiting into the Gulf. As you know, pretty dangerous territory.
No, is it?
Further action to reduce pressure on oil is imminent, and the oil seems to have pretty much stabilized.
We don't worry, folks. Low. I will be spending your money to solve the problem I just created on Friday.
It's okay with you.
Thank you. Great
Scott's
job.
Scott's the one has to put up with it. He said, you have to do this now. I said, I have to do it, Scott, right? But it's been very strong, and everybody, including Scott, everybody feels we had really no choice. They were going to hit us if we didn't hit them. Because they're crazy. And in the long term, the actions
because
we're taking will
crazy.
Dramatically.
Yeah, you know, they're just crazy. No need to actually try to empathize with them. No need to
stock markets and everything else.
Treat know, them like humans at all. They're just crazy animals that you can't negotiate with. 50, you just have to bomb the hell out of them. But that's not really going that well. I don't even want to listen to him anymore, to be honest with you. Let's go ahead and take him down. Because we have other people to listen to. I mean, at this point, I don't know. I mean, just look at who we have representing us. On one hand, Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, who it's like, who the hell? It's literally illegal for these guys to be making deals for him. Kushner never went through an approval process by the Senate. He's just some dude who's like best friends with Netanyahu and talks with him every day. So like literally we just have Israelis as American negotiators. Meanwhile, Iran has people like Araghchi. And again, I get that America has to kind of beat its chest and act like it's winning just because you have to. But let's go to clip number 14 here. From my perspective, and I don't think I'm the only one, I mean, the American military, as strident as they're being about their claims of total success and total air domination, we're obviously scrambling. We're trying to get the Kurds in. The Kurds are telling us no, by the way. But, like, we're trying to, like, try to get a horde going. We're trying to whip up a horde real quick to try to make something out of the air attacks, because we do need boots on the ground, but we can't really send Americans in, but we are going to. You know, there's like 100,000 servicemen stationing in Cyprus right now. Like, we're going in to Iran. It is a complete boondoggle. Again, total obvious mistake. And, like, just remember right now that 2 years from now they're going to say, well, you know, we had no idea. We thought we could, you know, we thought it was going to be a short war. We had no idea. I'm telling you right now, they all know that this is a gigantic quagmire. The only question is, why are they okay with that? What is their real intention? But let's go to clip 14 here. This is Abbas Araghchi, the foreign minister of Iran.
Boots on the ground in Iran. Are you afraid of a U.S. invasion in your country?
No, we are waiting for them.
You are waiting for the U.S. military to invade the ground troops?
Yes. Because we are confident that we can confront them, and that would be a big disaster for them.
So you're saying that Iran is ready and willing to take on the U.S. military if there were to be ground troops?
Well, we were ready for this war even more than the previous war. So you can see, the quality of our missiles, how much they are upgraded after the last war, because we learned lots of lessons. And we are prepared for any other eventuality, even, a ground invasion. So our soldiers are prepared for any scenario. When I said that we are waiting for them, it didn't mean that we are waiting for continuation of the war. No, but we have prepared ourselves to confront with any scenario, with any eventuality, any possibility, and we know that we can handle that.
Are your allies Russia and China helping you?
Well, they are supporting us politically and otherwise.
And remember, I mean, China could be providing Iran with intelligence. They could be, I mean, there's all sorts of things they could be doing because of the precedent that we established when it comes to Ukraine, right? We're not at war with Russia. We just provide all of the intelligence and all of the targeting systems and the manpower and the physical weapons that Ukraine then uses to attack Russia, but we're not attacking Russia. So, I mean, what would stop China from providing the intelligence and the targeting systems and the military equipment, killing American soldiers and saying, it's not us, it's Iran. It's Iran doing that. Because everything that America does that is evil and underhanded and weaselly, it always comes back to bite us in the ass, and then we always double down by being even more deceptive and evil. I don't know why we're so evil. I mean, other than Israel making us that way, I don't know why we go along with it. There's no reason behind any of this. Let's go to, is clip number 13 translated? So I do want to go to that one. But we can go to clip number 11 here. This is Mark Leal Grant. He's an ex-national security advisor in Britain. Here is his interpretation of how things are going 4 days into this conflict.
The Iranian people can do this themselves with, air cover from the US and Israel?
There's no sign of that happening, to be honest, Victoria, at the moment. I think 4 days into this conflict, I only see one winner at the moment, and that's Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel. I think practically everyone else is losing. The United States may be halfway between winning and losing. It could go either way. But I don't think they have expected two things. I don't think the Americans expected that Iran would sort of lash out at the Gulf states in a pretty indiscriminate way against both civilian and military targets, as they have. That took the Americans by surprise. And I don't think the Americans expected the sort of resilience we're seeing in the regime, despite the fact that they decapitated the entire sort of senior leadership. The fact that now we're hearing that maybe a new supreme leader has already been appointed, I mean, is a sign that there is some sort of process of succession. And well, I don't think the Americans expected that to be so smooth.
That news is emerging, not verified by the BBC.
I don't know why the American authorities didn't expect it, because we knew that was the case. Just completely insane. Again, speaking of the new Ayatollah, Iran's new Ayatollah vows to, quote, shed Trump's blood in chilling address. An Iranian Ayatollah called for the shedding of Donald Trump's blood in a chilling revenge statement broadcast on Iranian state television on Thursday. Ayatollah Abdollah Javadi Omali, one of Iran's most senior Islamic clerics, declared that the nation was, quote, on the verge of a great test, and urged the shedding of Zionist blood, the shedding of Trump's blood, on state television. Fight the oppressive America. His blood is on my shoulders, he declared, making a rare appeal for violence from an Ayatollah, one of the highest positions in the Shiite faith. It comes as a haunting new map reveals the four safest U.S. cities to live during a nuclear war. Nuclear war. We might be going to nuclear war here, because the other option was politely asking Israel to stop murdering their neighbors. And that was unacceptable. So we all have to die in nuclear hellfire for the sake of Jewish ambitions, I guess. I mean, unless you have a better reason for what we're doing here. Let's go to clip number 13. This is Benjamin Netanyahu altering his message a little bit, depending on who his audience is. Let's watch.
When he announced the offensive against Iran, the Israeli prime minister didn't just talk about perceived threats. Benjamin Netanyahu invoked Jewish history, drawing parallels with Jews rising up against Persian enslavement more than 2,000 years ago.
My brothers and sisters, in 2 days we celebrate the holiday of Purim. 2,500 years ago in ancient Persia, an enemy rose against us with the exact same goal of destroying our people.
A day later, Netanyahu invoked scripture, describing the government in Tehran as Amalek, the ultimate enemy in the Old Testament, the enemy whose memory and existence must be erased.
We read in this week's Torah portions, remember what Amalek did to you. We remember and we act.
It's not the first time this reference is made by Netanyahu to justify violence against an adversary. In fact, his reference to Palestinians as Amalek was cited during hearings in the genocide case against Israel at the International Court of Justice. Inciting religious fervor is not unique to Netanyahu. It's a popular tactic that right-wing and populist leaders often use to rally support. And it often pays off. Opinion polls show how widespread these sentiments are. For example, last year, a poll by Hebrew University on Israel's war on Gaza found that 75% of Jewish Israelis believe there are no innocents in Gaza. A survey released last month by the Institute for National Security suggests 78% of Israelis consider Iran a serious threat. Mixing scripture with mainstream politics is playing with fire, and it's led to talk of greater Israel, spanning from the Euphrates to the Nile River and erasing existing Arab countries in the process, an ambition referenced not only by Netanyahu, but also by the head of the opposition in Israel.
Netanyahu's 30-year obsession with Israel. Yeah, so when Netanyahu is speaking in English to American audiences, he says, you know, this is for the Iranian people, and the Iranian regime is so dangerous, we're going to free the poor, oppressed people of Iran from their evil leadership. And then when he's speaking in Hebrew to Israeli audiences, he calls them Amalek and says basically they're going to kill every single one of them, man, woman, and child. So a little bit of a different message, I think. And again, the religious extremism in this conflict is coming primarily from Jewish people and evangelicals. From Daniel Hatikatju, Screenshot one, the ADL links Israel's attacks on Iran to Purim. Purim is a horrifying religious festival where Jews celebrate their religious obligation to exterminate the enemies of Jewish people. Screenshot two, the ADL accuses me of anti-Semitism for linking Israel's attack to Purim. This is the brilliance of the anti-Semitic paradigm. See, the ADL gets to say, today is Purim, a holiday when we celebrate the thwarted plot to annihilate the Jewish people of Persia, modern-day Iran, and the courage of those who stood up against hatred. This year, the Purim story feels closer than ever. The former Iranian regime supreme leader Ali Khamenei, the man who openly and obsessively called for the destruction of the Jewish state and the death of Jews worldwide, is a stark reminder of how the themes of this holiday echo into the present day. Meanwhile, also from the ADL, the Purim conspiracy slash religious framing. Multiple actors seized on the fact that the strikes were launched just ahead of the Jewish holiday of Purim, which marks the salvation of the Jewish people, to allege that the timing of the attack was religiously motivated. How outrageous, how ridiculous, right? And then they point to this person saying that he said that Israel, quote, made sure to initiate its attack against Iran in Purim, calling Purim perhaps the most evil and violent festival found in any religion, claiming the Israeli Jews are using it to call for the extermination of not only Palestinians, but also Iranians. Yeah, but you are. I mean, you can't get mad at somebody for just saying what you are doing, okay? Okay, ADL, if you don't want people thinking that you're slaughtering a bunch of innocent people for your creepy holiday, don't tell everybody that's what you're doing. I mean, that's not a hard thing to figure out, is it? Again, just completely insane. And of course, the framing of, you know, so much of this is just completely inverted and ridiculous. I mean, after all, people want to act like this is like Christians and Jews versus Muslims. Like, let's go to clip number 28 here. Let's go to clip number 28. You can roll this and we can bring the audio up. But yeah, go ahead and roll this as B-roll. This is a church in Lebanon. And we can roll up. We can roll the audio up here. And these are Israeli soldiers desecrating and mocking it. And destroying statues and icons. Singing parodies of hymns. So again, I mean, you know, this is a religious war. It is. It's almost entirely being motivated by the religious extremism of the Jews in Israel. Okay? Just so we're perfectly clear who we're dealing with here. Hate Christians. Genuinely, powerfully hate Christians. Just so, again, we're perfectly clear of what's going on. I've so many videos of churches being destroyed. It really is annoying that people think otherwise. Let's go to clip number 17 here, because this is what we're talking about, right? This is a senator being asked why we should go to war with Iran and why we should sacrifice our own country for Israel. Let's watch.
Why are we at war with Iran? Confusing.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there are several good reasons for us to take out Iran's nuclear capabilities. First of all, because they're willing to use it.
There was an Iran nuclear deal signed in 2015.
Yeah, thank God we got out of that. Yeah. And remember, he agreed to a deal that allowed Iran to have a nuclear weapon.
No, they didn't.
Thank God we intervened in that. And they were on their way to doing it.
No, they weren't.
They were licensed to have to enrich to a level that would allow a nuclear weapon.
No,
that's
they weren't.
It's not true.
You know, the U.S. Republicans kept saying they almost have a nuclear weapon. They almost have a nuclear weapon. It's not true. They don't have a nuclear weapon. And I have one question.
Thank goodness they don't. And
does Israel
it's a good
have
idea
nuclear weapons?
Listen, the United States and Israel are ironclad partners. We need them in the Middle East. We need them to be strong. We have a biblical responsibility to them as well as an allied responsibility to Israel.
You have a biblical responsibility to not support the murderous psychos. You have a biblical responsibility to protect the innocent, to protect children. You have a biblical responsibility to prioritize your nation above foreign nations. Those are explicitly laid out in the Bible. Bible, I don't know if I need to tell you this, has absolutely nothing to say about the satanic Rothschild secular state created in 1948. You absolute morons. They are literally spitting on you, literally destroying churches, literally eradicating the Christian village that Jesus himself created in Bethlehem. What are you talking about, you psychos? Let's go to clip 27 here, because again, we've been talking about this forever. Thank God people like Tucker Carlson are finally bringing this to the mainstream. Let's watch.
American evangelical leaders, Christian Zionists, whose main point is rebuilding the Third Temple. Now, how could an American Christian or any Christian call for the building of a temple whose presence, whose inherent presence denies Christ, who said clearly, and Christians believe this, it's a core point of faith, I am the temple. You want to speak to God, you speak through me. That's Christianity. That's the whole religion right there. So if you're a Christian preacher calling for the rebuilding of the Third Temple, you kind of missed the whole point. That's more than apostasy. That's like not even knowing what the religion's about. So it's hard to believe there could be any ordained Christian leaders pushing for the rebuilding of the Third Temple. Oh, but there are a lot. There are a lot. And here's just one. This is Pastor Greg Locke. Listen to this.
The Gaza Strip, which has now been cut off by Israel, and rightly so. They should have cut them off a long time ago. I don't care how insensitive you think I am to that. There's six doors in this church. You can leave anytime you want to. They've cut them off, you know, electricity. They've cut off their water. They should have. Now, listen, I'm not for hurting anyone that's innocent. But anybody that supports terrorism is not innocent. You understand that? Israel should make the Gaza Strip a parking lot by this time next week. Destroy the whole thing. What they ought to do is evacuate up there on the hill and get a great big missile and blow that wicked Dome of the Rock plumb off of the spot where it's standing right now so we can get that Third Temple rebuilt and usher in the coming of Jesus.
Boy, it is embarrassing and shameful as an American Christian to hear that and to know that video is from a few years ago. It's been on the internet. No one bothered to highlight it. Most people weren't even aware this was going on. Oh, it's definitely going on. These are very common views. Seems obvious that Mike Huckabee has them, that a lot of the Christian Zionists, John Hagee, that you think just like Israel. They just like Israel.
And, of course, the new Antichrist patch just dropped featuring the Third Temple that they're going to build. And as soon as they do, man, it's going to be awesome for them. They're going to have so many slaves. I mean, for us, we're going to be the slaves. But for them, boy, is it going to be good. It's going to be great.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participated, supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers. And with one click in your profile, you cancel any time for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at theofficestore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.